everyone. Welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today, we continue our New Year's series, this time being joined by Lenovo Canada Channel Chief Stefan Bockhop. What can you say about Lenovo in 2014? It pulled not one, but two blockbuster acquisitions. Lenovo Canada moved into a brand new office, and it continued to prove that its strategy of focusing on a category that had been declared dead by pundits years ago was actually kind of solid. Stefan joins us to recap some highlights from the last year and offer his predictions and thoughts for what we can expect in 2015. So let's get right into it, one-on-one with Stefan Bockhop. Stefan, thanks so much for taking the time. Much appreciated.
Hey, no problem, Rob. Always happy to do it.
Setting up, doing some notes for what we want to talk about here. I have no idea what we're going to talk about, man. It's not like Lenovo did anything in 2014.
Yeah, it's been a very quiet and uneventful year for our company, for sure. No, it couldn't be farther from the truth. It's been quite a year for us. 2014 will go down as one of the big ones for sure.
No doubt. And of course, first and foremost among that nothing that happened, the two big acquisitions for this audience, obviously the server one is huge, and the Motorola one is interesting and kind of, I think, in a watch this space kind of mode at this moment. But your thoughts on what you guys have unlocked and the opportunity you guys have created by the acquisition of System X from Big Blue.
Yeah, I mean, so acquisitions for Lenovo, nothing new. Kind of the Lenovo PC company was spawned from an acquisition from IBM of the PC company and merging to Legend's PC business. And since then, we've done kind of five other major acquisitions. But I will tell you, for my team, for our partners in this geography, these two are the most North American-centric, the most relevant to kind of our market. And that means opportunity. That means opportunity for revenue and profit for our partners in the marketplace and a chance to deliver some new products. So the level of excitement for our teams, obviously, in these ones is much more than, say, when we had an NEC acquisition in Japan. It's great to be huge in Japan, but it doesn't really, it doesn't really change my day-to-day life very much. These two very much so are in this geography for sure.
And we've already seen at least one way in which it's changed your life with moving into the new combined facility along with the System X crew.
The joke around the office is we're going to need a bigger boat, so we went and got one. That's for sure. Yeah,
ThinkServer certainly had been developing nicely over the last few years, but getting that sort of venerable and sizable System X business in there really has to kind of put a rocket behind the server ambitions at Lenovo. How realized are those ambitions at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, so immediately after the acquisition, Lenovo's combined server share puts us at the number three position. So, we're number one in PCs, we're number three in smartphones with the Motorola acquisition, and now we're number three in x86 servers. So if you look at us from a relevancy point of view, from a, if you look at an IT provider that, kind of the marketing phrase is we provide from the data center to the pants pocket. I like, by the way, the glass house to your house, but I'm still not winning that fight with marketing. If you look at providers out there, there's really nobody else who's got that kind of breadth and depth of market penetration and ability to deliver in kind of all those segments of the market. So that's exciting for us, but also I think for our partners, because if you look at their partners have a limited amount of, kind of P&L. They have a limited amount of resource they can work with. They can't just hire people on spec. They can't just decide, hey, I'm going to, specialize in 25 different vendors. So if you look at Lenovo now offering a wider breadth of products from the client, the data center, and soon mobility conversations, that becomes attractive from a partner point of view because there's less certifications, there's less connections we have to make with the vendor. And so I think that's an exciting opportunity for our partners for sure. We're obviously excited to move up the stack into the data center. The flex system technology, the unified systems that have come over and some of the density products that have come over, really exciting kind of, next-gen type products. And the new M5 class of machines that the System X teams kind of brought to market. These products are delivering 5.9 reliability. And so, 5.9 was reserved for kind of big iron type systems. This is the first class of products from anybody that's kind of delivering that five nines in an x86 architecture. And so that's exciting to be part of it. And it's exciting products that our partners can bring to market for our customers. So I'm looking forward.
If you know, the IBM side of the, or the IBM acquisition certainly is a today opportunity, I would say. Is it safe to say that the Motorola acquisition, in terms of the traditional Lenovo channel partner, it is still a little bit of a, you know, watch this space kind of opportunity at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, so you know, the Motorola acquisition is interesting. People talk about the products because they're good products, right? They're really cool products. So you got the X, the G, the E, the Droid. We also got the Moto 360 watch as part of the acquisition. And we're looking at, you know, what's the optimal way to kind of go to market? What's the optimal way to get these into the hands of our customers, both commercial and consumer? But that Motorola brand, that Motorola name has some cachet. It's worthwhile. And so, you know, we're gonna make sure we keep that kind of front and center in our conversations. But maybe the lesser known is we also have about 2,000 patent assets that give you that we got from the activity and access through the agreement to about 21,000 patent assets. So if you look at, not only will we be making incredible technology to put in the palm of your hand, but I think you'll start to see some innovation, some activities around kind of what that means, what the experience means if you are a Lenovo or Motorola device user or server user. Kind of some recent examples are Reach It and Share It, which are some applications that we've received some recognition for and received some notice for that any kind of our users can download from either the Google Play Store or, yes, it even works on iOS if you want to download it. But so some development opportunities, not only in the hardware, but also in making that ecosystem work. And that's what you can kind of look for us in the next few years from a Motorola point of view.
All right, great. So while these acquisitions certainly got, the lion's share of the headlines and the attention just because they're, you know, thought-provoking, big, game-changing moves, it turns out you guys are still selling some computers too.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was looking back a little while ago on kind of some of the share and some of the growth. And, you know, when I started, when this acquisition kind of went off the first time and I became a Lenovite or a Lenovian, I don't think we've ever landed on which one is correct, by the way. You know, we were doing about $12 billion in revenue worldwide. Kind of 1 in 20 PCs. 1 in 20 PCs was what the volume of Lenovo would be compared to marketplace. Right. So this year we finished at around 20% market share, nearly 20%. And so, you know, what that says is 1 in 5 PCs are being sold, are a Lenovo, you know, badged PC. It might say ThinkPad, it might say Yoga, but 1 in 5 in the world are a Lenovo PC. And in fact, IDC looks at the marketplace a couple different ways. One way they look at it is consumption, right? So client consumption. And so they smash together PC and tablet and say, look, this is where we think people are looking at devices. And so in fact, you know, this past, the past quarter, we actually surpassed Apple. So Lenovo, if you combine PC and tablet, we sell more than Apple. We sell more than the iPad guys. And so I think that's a pretty good indication that we're doing well in terms of delivering devices that are relevant, that are desirable, and that are kind of the right fit for whether it's a corporate customer or, you know, a consumer customer making a choice in an aisle of a retail giant or, you know, in a virtual aisle online on, you know, one of our online partners. So it's an interesting, shift from kind of that 1 in 20 model to being the leader in, you know, something you put in your hands, something you put your hands on every day to kind of access your digital world. You know, I got a 1 in 5 shot if you're doing it on one of my devices. That feels pretty good.
All right. We certainly heard from partners and especially from the distributors, given their dependence on such things that for a product that was has spent the last few years in some circles being written off, declared dead, etc. The PC certainly sounds like it was the savior of the day for the industry almost. Certainly in the first half and into the second half, some pretty high growth here in Canada, and I think that's a combination of pent up demand and XP and other things, but some pretty heady growth numbers by modern industry standards, at least. How did that translate at Lenovo Canada, and what were sort of some of your products that led the charge, as it were?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, the PC's dead. I've heard that before. desktop is dead. Heard that since I've been kind of starting selling PCs. I remember when we first started selling ThinkPads. Everybody's going to have a ThinkPad. There'll be no need for desktops anymore. And that was, I'm not going to say how many years ago, but so clearly the market, the news of our demise is greatly exaggerated. I'd say a couple products that kind of stood out for me in terms of game changers or kind of standout products in the consumer space. We got some great press, but also some just incredible engineering around the Yoga line. And the latest one, the Yoga 3 Pro, which is the one with the watch band, if it was kind of talking about that. Mm-hmm. It's just a gorgeous piece of tech. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. It's just a beautiful looking piece of technology. So as a person who's been selling these things for a long time, it's very aesthetically pleasing and it's engineered well. So for me, that's a great kind of pairing in the marketplace. So if you're making a personal decision, like I said, in the aisles of one of those retail giants, you can't help but want to look at this device. You can't help but look at it and go, hey, this does everything I want to do. It's my tablet. It's my notebook. It's one device. I'm loving life on that. And then, in the commercial side, just had some really good wins, some good products come out there. The X1 Carbon continues to be the gold standard for kind of business ultrabooks. So, nobody who gets an X1 Carbon in their work life is going to go, oh, geez, I really was hoping for. No, you were really hoping for this. This is the Cadillac. This is the one you wanted. Anything other than this, you're kind of, I was hoping for an X1 Carbon. So that's a great statement from the commercial side. But I'll tell you, one of the areas that was really surprising and we were happy with was the desktop growth. I mean, so desktop was the king. Desktops for the first half, for sure. And even continuing, we had excellent results, excellent year-over-year results. And, frankly, I think Lenovo's been rewarded for, not giving up, not saying the desktop is dead, it's continuing to look at innovation. So our Tiny product is probably the best example of that. We took a device that was, traditionally has been, there's a small form factor, there's a tower, there's a, that's kind of what they've been sold for, yep. I don't know, a decade, right? I could go back and figure out when the form factors came. And that was pretty much okay with everybody, but not with us. We said, no, we could do more here. And so to deliver that first generation Tiny a couple years back now with a 1-liter chassis, right? So 99% of functionality of a desktop and a 1-liter chassis. Incredible. And so, when you do a good job and you make an innovation that matters and makes sense to the marketplace, everybody follows you. So now I think everybody's got some version of our, they won't ever call it a Tiny because that would be blatantly, blatantly they copied the design, but they all have a 1-liter type device out in the marketplace. But we didn't rest on our laurels. So this year we came out with the Tiny in One innovation. So basically we've got a chassis mount in a 23-inch, monitor. And so if you look at large-scale deployments, if you look at standardized environments, you look at MSP-type partners, you can now slam a Tiny into this 23-inch chassis, and you can slam any of the Tinies that are in the current generation, so from the 53 right to the 93, and offer that kind of unified deployment experience, unified look and feel. Yet the under the covers, you could have, the one at the front off front reception could be a Celeron box because that's all you need up there. And the one in the back that's, doing some data analytics for some more heavy spreadsheet work could be an i7 device. Look and feel, deployment, how you put it to market, no difference. The device just slams in. So it gives you some, right away it's solving business problems. It's making it easier for the guys who support them, the guys who deploy them, while leaving the user experience kind of unified and the same and untouched. So we're receiving a ton of interest. It's amazing when you go to a Lenovo Live and, the guys who crowd around the desktop demos are the bigger crowd than the notebook side. It doesn't happen very often, but this device definitely kind of draws that type of activity. So, we'll continue to put that innovation first, that thought about, there's still things we can do better, and we don't kind of rest on the laurels of, hey, we got something new, we're the leader, let's stop there, move on. So expect to see that from us in the coming years for sure.
All right, and switching gears to talk a little bit about what you've seen coming down the pipe and into 2015. Generally speaking, what's kind of the mood you see at Lenovo and in your partner base, and what are you seeing as the big opportunities in the short term for yourself and your partners?
Well, I mean, so in the coming year, you know, we got a few milestones we're looking to do sometime early in the 2015. We'll reach a major milestone. We'll sell our 100 millionth ThinkPad, right? Wow. So that'll be a big, you know, that's a pretty good kind of run rate for a brand, right? That's not inconsequential amounts. interestingly enough, this year coming, we probably also expect to sell 100 million mobile devices. So, you know, putting it in perspective, right? So we're going to reach our 100 million ThinkPad, and in 2015, we will sell 100 million smartphones and tablets. That's kind of the expectation. So some staggering numbers, some volume in the marketplace that is just truly truly mind-boggling from a, you know, you think of the Canadian marketplace, but that's the output we're looking for in the coming year. In terms for our partners, you know, I mean, we just because we've got a new set of products and a new set of technology and you know, hopefully expanding our customer base and expanding our partner base, the principles by which we go to market in the channel, we're going to keep those consistent, right? So, I mean, there's four pillars in our mind, and they aren't relevant to kind of what the offering or what the solution is. They're relevant to how we engage with partners. So it's a clear strategy. So we're clear on, you know, what is a channel strategy, what's a go-to-market strategy, what products we go to market through the partners. Simple and predictable in our programmatic stack and our offering stack and how we kind of support them, and consistent. So we try to keep it such that if we're affecting, you know, say in Canada, 4,000 partners, P&Ls, I don't want to do a right turn and leave them all behind, because that can have a, you know, big effect on their P&Ls. But at the same time, we'll change our programs, we'll adapt, because we do want to listen to our partners and hear, okay, what's the best? Like this, oh, this works better? Okay, let's look at that. So we're not, you know, we're not so ivory tower thought thinking, hey, there's nothing left to change. If we're going to be innovative in our products and think differently about that, we have to be similarly innovative in our programs. And then, you know, it has to be profitable. So we take time and, you know, pause every chance we get with our partners to look at them and go, are you still making money on this? Is this still a good, you know, iterative item for your P&L? Because that's, you know, I haven't met a not-for-profit partner yet. They're all, you know, they all got, you know, mouths to feed, shareholders to feed, one or the other. And so those are the kind of the pillars we'll look at. Obviously, we're going to spend some time making sure we have that kind of one, we've talked about that one channel strategy for our partners. So making sure the community's one, the distribution model's one, our coverage model is simple and easy to understand. Our programs are simple to understand. Obviously, you know, a technical expert for a workstation, a technical expert for a flex system, those are probably two different people. But how you access them and where you find information to get to them or get to that information you need, that should be unified. That should be as simple and easy to get as we can make it. So that's what we'll spend some time. And in fact, in the first weeks of January, we'll launch a couple of programmatic shifts in the channel program space, most notably the new customer bonus and the System X version of the new customer bonus will unify into kind of one programmatic stack. Again, making it easier for partners to access. You don't have to fill out two forms for the same customer. That's kind of ludicrous. We're looking at that going, no, we got to make it one. So we'll take these kind of quick wins, the areas we can, and then continue marching to that April 1st deadline we've given ourselves to say, okay, we're that one model. And then, you know, when we're in that one, we can start accelerating, looking at optimizing how we go to market, how we acquire customers, and how we kind of grow that share for our partners and our customers in the marketplace.
All right. Your thoughts on the mood in the channel as we head into to 2015? It's interesting times from a macroeconomic kind of point of view. Curious what you're seeing, hearing, and what your partners are feeling about the year to come.
Yeah, I'd say there's a ton of you know, mixed emotion, right? So there is definitely it's definitely a marketplace that has some kind of real things happening to us, and in the Canadian marketplace, you know, our currency, you know, good, bad, or ugly, mm-hmm. has taken a shift in the last little while. So that is a reality, right? So you're looking at a dollar that was maybe 18 months ago on par with the greenback is now kind of hovering in the 87, 85, 89. It moves up and down. Depending on when this podcast airs, I'll be wildly accurate or inaccurate. But the dollar's shifted a bit. So that has effects on manufacturers. It had effects on transits, some of the effect of customers who are dependent on other currencies and their willingness to spend money. So it has a ripple effect for sure. The other one is customers are at the point of decision on a number of things. So one is to cloud or not to cloud. And I don't think anymore it's to not cloud. It's how much cloud and what's the adoption speed. And what do I put off-prem into a public cloud? What do I do in a hybrid? What do I have to do a private? Do I want to make that hosted, non-hosted, et cetera? So there's what that does is creates uncertainty. It creates churn, but it also creates opportunities. So I think there's partners out there who are starting to look at operationalizing and making it easier to offer their customers the kind of choices they want. And so we, as a manufacturer, especially a manufacturer of, kind of infrastructure products, we'll look at ways to support our partner community as best we can. If they want to move into a MSP style or a hosting style, we'll look at programmatic shifts. And I'm, really far pre-announcing, but kind of April timeframe, we'll look at programmatic opportunities to help our partners support the customers in that respect. And then, more immediately, given some of the recent press around Sony Pictures and some of the cyber security issues, no one's going to want to have a Win 2003 server be the cause of them having a security breach in their business, big or small. And so all those servers out there that are running that technology that's going to sunset from a support point of view in July, they have to make a decision. And some of that decision is going to be a hardware one and the appropriate software. And obviously some of it will get virtualized because if it's still running 2003, it's probably ripe for a virtualization conversation. But these are types of opportunities that are going to have to be addressed. And so that's an opportunity for us as a manufacturer to make sure we're aligned with our partners and there to support them when they go and, solve these problems for our mutual customers. And then in the client side, I think people are settling into a usage model. And so, the shiny tablet time is over. Now we've decided whether this is a work device or a play device, and how I use it is kind of starting to be decided for by the user. I want to use this for this, and I'll use this for this. And so, we placed a bet a couple years back that we thought the tablet would continue to be a companion device, would be another device in your kit bag, another mechanism for which you accessed IT, but you might still have a traditional PC in your kit bag. Now, maybe some notebook users have moved to a desktop and a tablet, and that's the reality. But I think the usage model set, and so now people will be looking at the kind of refresh cycle. So there are some, frankly, aging tablets. We're at our probably inflection point where there's customers out there with aging tablets. That's an opportunity for our partners for sure. What's the next kind of companion device, tablet device you're going to use? And then, traditional PCs, like I said, the news of our demise is dead. We don't expect, triple-digit growth in this product, but it'll be a steady product for us. It'll be a core product for us. And we'll continue to deliver, what we think are the best in the industry. And hopefully our customers and partners will reward us with, POs and cash and credit cards for the products we bring to market. So that's kind of the thoughts and things that are swirling around the office and swirling around the planning for our people and our partners in the marketplace, from what I'm hearing anyway.
Brilliant. Much appreciated. Before we wrap this up, any parting shots for the Canadian partner community as we head into 2015?
No, I'd like to thank them all. We were lucky enough last year to win kind of 10 Reseller Choice Awards. Wow. And I'd be remiss to not tell them voting is now open. So if you liked what you saw from us this year and you think we're doing a good job, please vote. And if you didn't like what you saw, please vote, because we'll listen to that vote for sure. But we do take seriously our feedback from our partners, and we hope that we're kind of delivering the types of programs, the people, the products they want, because you know, our success in this marketplace is we're a channel based company. So if we had a good year, then we hope our partners also had a good year. And I'll finish with, you know, I was looking at the stats, and we added in the Canadian marketplace last year, 2014, we added about $70 million of revenue, total revenue for the year through the channel. So our net kind of channel volume increased by about $70 million. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'll tell our partners who are listening to this, hopefully you got your unfair share of that. But if you didn't get your unfair share of that, we're going to try to do, you know, a similar level of growth this year. And so if you're not sure how to work with us or how to get that unfair share of that growth, give me a call or give your rep a call, and we'll walk you through the programs, walk you through the offerings, and make sure you're well-armed to kind of go to market in 2015.
All right, great. That's a great note to leave it on. Stefan, thanks for taking the time. Always a pleasure, and all the best for you as we head into 2015.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
So there you have it, a review of Lenovo in 2014 and Stefan's thoughts on the year that is currently unfolding in 2015. I'd like to thank Stefan for joining the podcast, and of course thank Lenovo Canada for being a sponsor of the site in 2014. And of course, thank you as always for listening in. Hey, we'll be back later this week with the penultimate edition of the New Year's podcast series, as we're joined by Greg Myers, Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Tech Data Canada, to offer a distributor's view of 2014 and preview of 2015. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.